Weightlifters don't like single joint movements. They enjoy doing squats, they enjoy doing front squats, some pulling perhaps, but if you give them the leg extension machine, if their knee is injured, they will go and do it. If it's not injured, they will not look at it at all.
Hi, Nikos. It's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself.
Hello, Alex. So first of all, I would like to thank you for the invitation and for having me here in Evidence Strong. My name is Nikos Zaras. I am an assistant professor at the Department of Physical Education and Sports Science at the Demokritos University of Thrace, Komotini, Greece. My current academic position is focused on resistance training and on neuromuscular adaptations, and I'm teaching resistance training courses and the Olympic weightlifting. Before that, I was a lecturer and assistant professor at the University of Nicosia, where the current study was carried out. And also, I was a former track and field athletic throwing events coach, a shot putter, a discus thrower, and a weightlifter. My relationship with weightlifting began from 1996, in my early age as a thrower. And during the years, I was able to compete in several competitions and in national championships.
That's awesome. Okay, so I invited you to talk about the study title, Reactive Strength Index, Rate of Torque Development, and Performance in Well-Trained Weightlifters, a pilot study. So let's start with the aim of the studies.
Okay, so for start, I would like to acknowledge the work of Yorgos Anastasiou and Professor Marios Hatzikaralambos and Gerasimos Terzis. They gave everything they got on that paper, especially Yorgos, who was an undergraduate student of mine, and he basically performed all the experimental procedures, all the measurements. So thanks to Yorgos Anastasiou, we managed to conclude this study. And let me begin by our discussion today with a relatively well-answered question that your viewers might already know, but it's always fun to bring it up. So the question goes like, have you ever played a basketball game with weightlifters? I mean, these guys have one of the highest vertical jumps among athletes. And the fun part is that they don't actually work for it. They gain all the adaptations from the snatch, from the clean and jerk, from the squats. And I remember one time, 20 years ago, we played a game for front fall with a local basketball team. And I had a friend of mine. He was about 162 meters height, and he jumped and took all the rebounds. But at the end of the day, we lost the game, mainly because the ball was tight for us, so we couldn't succeed in basket, and we ran out of fuel, of course. But let's get back to the purpose of the study. So we all know that vertical jump can be measured with various forms, like the counter movement jump, the squat jump, the deep squat jump, and studies have shown that the vertical jump is strongly related to weightlifting performance. However, when you have elite athletes in the highest level, then the counter movement jumps measured in centimeters maybe will not be such a good variable to correlate with weightlifting performance. But regardless, there are strong evidences that not only from the classical research from Carlock back in 2004, but from Zofia and colleagues in 2023 from a very good meta-analysis, they saw that the peak power during the vertical jumps is among the top three variables of predicting weightlifting performance. And if you're wondering what are the two top variables, then it's the back squat and the front squat, of course. The correlations there are above 0.9. However, when we searched the literature, we didn't find anything regarding the relationship between the drop jump and weightlifting. So why drop jumps? Drop jumps is characterized as exercise with a fast shortening side muscle contraction. So do weightlifters need that? Yes, they need it, especially when they finish the second pull and they're trying to get as fast as possible under the barbell. In the same time, drop jumps may provide coaches with an index of explosiveness. This is called the reactive strength index. So the less time you spend on the ground and the highest is your vertical jump, then the highest is the reactive strength index. The reactive strength index, of course, is the quotient of drop jump height and ground contact time. And this may increase following long-term training and is a good indicator of the neuromuscular status of the weightlifters. So there is a scientific gap in the literature that we would like to fill. Moreover, we try to explore whether the rate of torque development using a single joint isometric exercise like the leg extension in an isokinetic machine may correlate with weightlifting performance. Now, the rate of torque development is a variable that can be calculated from the force time curve or the torque time curve, even better, and it's simply measured how fast the athlete can apply his force in the beginning of muscle contractions. And we are talking about time windows between 0 to 250 milliseconds. So these time periods are pretty similar to the second pull of the barbell during the snatch and the clean and jerk. And the previous studies have shown, I would say, strong correlations about to 0.70 with the, between the isometric mid-high pulls or the isometric leg press that we did in previous studies and with weightlifting performance. But only a handful of studies have examined the relationship between the single joint exercise like leg extension with weightlifting performance. Now, unfortunately, we only have 7 athletes. That's why this is a pilot study, and our results need further studies in order to verify the correlation between drop jumps and weightlifting performance.
All right, so I think it introduces us very nicely to the study. So could you tell us more about the participants, so the weightlifters you were inviting to do the study?
Okay, so as I said before, the study was conducted at Cyprus. Cyprus is a small island, and so we were able to recruit approximately 9 national level weightlifters. As far as I recall, 3 of them were members of the national team, and we tried to find the best guys in the Cyprus. During the experimental procedure, however, 2 of them got injured with a training program they used. Their injuries had nothing to do with our research. And as far as I can recall, we measured them approximately 2 or 3 weeks before their national championship. So we think that we got the measurements when the athletes were in a pretty good shape.
You tested 1 RM snatch and clean and jerk. And what did you measure with drop jump?
Well, obviously, we also take the total performance. And apart from body composition with BIA and some other body dimension measurements, we brought them to the laboratory for the vertical jumps. So we focused on the vertical jumps. That's why we gave them about 10 minutes to warm up and then counter movement jumps and squat jumps in the beginning of the experiment. We used these vertical jumps as a warm up because we want them to go to drop jumps and perform their best. So drop jumps were measured in 3 different heights from 20 centimeters, 30 centimeters, and 40 centimeters with a randomized order. And the truth is that when we designed the experiment, me and Yorgos, we had the discussion about putting greater heights like 60 centimeters or 80 centimeters. And when we tried to do that, because we were former weightlifters, we found it quite difficult to overcome the reaction forces of the ground. And we also knew that these athletes didn't use drop jumps in their training. They often and frequently use counter movement jumps and squat jumps, so it might increase the risk of injury. So we left these drop heights outside of the study. We tried to use only 20, 30, and 40 centimeters. However, a future study may go to up to 60 centimeters, although I don't know how this is more functional, I would say, with weightlifting performance. Okay, I believe that we did a good job using these 3 heights. After that, we measured the rate of torque development of the isokinetic machine, and we gave them the instruction to apply their force as fast as possible. And from the torque time curve, we measured the different time windows, the torque that was used in different time windows. And of course, we have the 1 RM snatch and the clean and jerk.
Awesome. So do we know everything about the methods you wanted us to know?
Yeah. So a basic measurement that we took was the reactive strength index from the drop jump, which is the quotient of the jump height and the contact time of the athlete. And this was a good measurement for us. Because we have these 3 conditions in the drop jumps, we made a comparison between the 20, the 30, and the 40 centimeters. And obviously, we found that the 40 centimeters had the greater jump height and the flight time compared to the 20 centimeters. However, didn't find any differences in this and the reactive strength index among the 3 different jump heights. An interesting finding was that almost all athletes achieved their best RSI from the 40 centimeters drop height, 6 out of 7. Only 1 of them achieved his best RSI from the 20 centimeters. We did another analysis there and we tried to calculate an optimum average drop height. So the 37 centimeters seemed to be an optimum jump height for these weightlifters.
Why do you think that happened? Why do you think the 37 or 40 centimeters was the best?
Well, the drop jump height is strongly related to how strong is the athlete. The stronger the athlete, the higher is the jump height. So we believe that the 40 centimeters are much more appropriate jump height for weightlifters. There was another study that was performed on power athletes. This was done by a good colleague of mine back from the National Kapodistrian University of Athens, Thanasis Tsoukos, and he found that in power athletes, 29 centimeters were the best jump height to increase their RSI. In our participants, the 37 centimeters seems to be an optimum, let's say, jump height to increase your RSI. But this is the only study, as far as I can recall, in weightlifters. So perhaps a second or a third study using drop jumps in weightlifters may give us a new jump heights or provide us new information regarding the relationship between drop jump height and weightlifting performance. We need more evidence.
Yes, true. Oh, always.
So what we actually find was the obvious, that counter movement jump and squat jump was strongly related with weightlifting performance. Also found strong correlations between the contact time and weightlifting performance in all three conditions of drop jump heights, and the reactive strength index was significantly correlated with weightlifting performance. We also did a correlation between the best individual RSI with weightlifting performance. We found significant correlation with SNATs, with the total, and almost with clean and jerk. The value there was 0.054 P6. So it's something that I really hated, yes, but the truth. Finally, the last analysis was between the isometric knee extension and the weightlifting performance. As expected, this was a single joint movement. Weightlifters don't like single joint movements. They enjoy doing squats, they enjoy doing front squats, there's some pulling perhaps, but if you give them the leg extension machine, if their knee is injured, they will go and do it. If it's not injured, they will not look at it at all. So moderate to large correlations between the rate of torque development and the isometric peak torque with weightlifting performance. These correlations, of course, were much lower compared to correlations we have with the isometric mid-thigh pull and the isometric leg press tests. So this single joint exercise may be a moderate predictor for weightlifting performance, although it might be a good predictor if you try to explore the adaptations of the weightlifters following a training program. So you can use this as a test to examine the adaptation for and following a training program.
Could you extend on that? Tell us a little bit more on how would you use it to monitor the program?
Okay, so you can measure the athlete in the same angle or in different angular velocities in the beginning of training, let's say, in the preparation phase. Then apply a training program. Let's say that this training program will be like increasing his muscle strength, his maximum muscle strength. And if you want to see whether he adapted to the program, whether his neuromuscular system is following the program you want, then you can go back to the laboratory and repeat the same measurement. You have to remember now that in weightlifting, we have the body categories. We cannot change our body mass very easy. So this means that if you increase your lean mass, perhaps you will have a problem competing in your body category. So the thing you can do is to change your neural or your neuromuscular activation. And this is a very, very effective measurement, the rate of torque development or the RFD, the rate of force development, to observe whether your athlete is adapted to your training program or whether he is ready to compete to competitions. Okay.
Awesome. What else have you found?
Well, I think we didn't find anything else. This was a correlation study, but I believe that you have very important things to suggest to coaches. So drop jumps may be a difficult vertical jump, let's say, for athletes. It's a fast softening cycle exercise. And from the coaching perspective, you can use it because it will give you the RSI and you will have a numeric value whether your athlete is in a good neuromuscular state or whether he increases or enhances his neuromuscular activation during training or before competitions. In addition, they can use drop jumps as a training tool in order to enhance lower body neuromuscular explosiveness of their athletes. However, coaches already know that one arm strength in back squat, in front squat, or in power cleans, power snatch is always a better predictor. RSI may provide them as a numerical value of the responses of their athletes during the training process. Also, the isometric mid-thigh pull is a functional test for weightlifters, but it's not when you have a difficult to find it. So you have to use the isokinetic machines. Okay. So the leg extension, although it's a single joint movement, it may give you useful insights about the adaptations of your athlete during training, and perhaps it would give you a moderate index regarding the correlation with weightlifting performance. In other words, this is a test with a moderate correlation, but it could possibly provide you insights in the rate of adaptations following long-term training programs. I believe that these two things are the main take-home messages for coaches. Drop jumps are great. Use it in training. If you don't have access to isometric mid-height pulls or isometric leg press, then use the single joint exercise as a tool to see the adaptations of your athletes following the training program.
Excellent. Two short questions. The first one is, what is your favorite lift?
Okay. So when I was younger, I hated the snatch. Totally hated. I didn't like it at all. It took me about 1 year to increase 5 kilograms on my 1RM. But when I was getting older and I was learning more about the technique, about the importance of the pulling, okay, then I kind of like it, you know, the snatch. But as you said before, during a competition, you snatch all you can, and you clean and jerk all you must, okay? So obviously, I was a clean and jerk guy. This was my favorite lift, and this is still my favorite lift. I feel more comfortable. It's more confident to clean and jerk kilograms. I have more kilograms during the jerk that I can clean. So this is my exercise.
Awesome. And where people can find you online if they want to look at your research or they want to contact you to ask you a question?
Okay. So it might surprise you, but unfortunately, I don't have Instagram. Okay. So I can be found in the Research Gate. My email address is, I'm always positive in giving responses to anyone who wants to talk about our research, our findings, or even to communicate about a study, a future study in weightlifting.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Nikos, for today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me. It was my pleasure.